Welcome everyone to Love Secrets Revealed. I am your host, Ryan Matsumori, and I'm a professional men's coach supporting men to move from their head into their hearts so that they can reconnect deeply with themselves, so that they can reconnect deeply with their woman and with their children. And in this series, it is a theme to really support men, women, singles, and couples to become more self-aware of how they're showing up and what they're creating in their life and their relationship so they can permanently shift it and change it in alignment with everything that they want. And it's such a pleasure and an honor to bring this speaker forward for you today. And the theme of today's conversation is going to be around men. And around men in relationship, men in marriage, and the breakdowns that occur, and how we work through it, and what's going on, and what we don't know about. And whether you're a man or a woman, or you're single or in a relationship, there's going to be so much deep wisdom shared with you today that will give you insight into yourself, your past relationships, your current relationships, your partner, that can really support you in moving forward and creating everything that you want. And so without further ado, I would like to bring in our speaker for today. Steve Horseman, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Ryan. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited for us to dive into this, such an important topic and a topic that you hardly hear people talking about. You know, women, a lot of women have their groups and there's a lot of voices there out in the world, but they're the voice of men in this vulnerable space, in this intimate space, is hardly ever heard or seen. And our own humanity is equally as important and gets to be known and understood to bridge a lot of gaps. And for the viewers out here joining us today, I just want to share a little bit about Steve, so you have some feeling for him, background for him. And so what I'll share is Steve is an ex-student, ex-engineer, ex-program manager, ex-corporate educator, and an ex-husband. And just like many of you men out there viewing right now, he has been a good guy his whole life. And he turns on the light for good guys who are struggling in their relationships with women. Guys call him when they have tried everything to rebuild their love and affection that they want to have, but it's still not working for them. He shows good men how to create the feelings of trust, presence, and connection women crave, and why the tactics that you've been trying are actually making it worse. And so thank you, Steve, for being here. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the viewers?
Oh, I think you said it all. That's what I do. It's what I do. I'm a batting coach for men. And we can talk later why you and I both focus on men. And there's obvious questions. Why men? So let's get started. I'm grateful to be here to talk with you today.
And for the viewers, there is such a beautiful synergy between Steve and I. In his bio, it just really resonated with me because I'm an ex-student, I'm an ex-engineer, I'm an ex-project manager. I'm an ex-corporate coach, and I'm also an ex-husband. And so, so much synergy there. And just jumping in here, Steve, let's just jump into the topic of men in relationship. And so why are men often surprised to learn that their wife isn't happy or wants a divorce?
I believe, using my experience and after knowing you, maybe yours, men still, after the short human experience on Earth, men still see themselves as providers, protectors, aka warriors. Now, we are becoming more emotionally available, more emotionally intelligent, but oftentimes, especially young men, getting connected in their 20s with their life partner, getting married, making their vows, they still have a social training, a social programming that their role is to go to war, to provide, to produce, to achieve, to create, to earn, right? And to bring it home. And so their nose goes on the grindstone. They have a very monofocused, which is something we're very good at as men. We tend to focus on the one thing we think we're supposed to do to keep this ship afloat. We also have an immature belief that if we do that, then all of our other needs will be met for connection, trust, affection, intimacy, sexuality. And that immature and insecure belief that if we just fight the battle hard enough, we'll be loved and have our needs met the way we thought we should. Then we slam into this wall of reality that that isn't what relationship is about at all. And we're surprised, we are shocked and awed when a woman says things like, just because you're a good provider doesn't make you a good husband. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I think we need some space, right? You don't understand me or know how to meet my needs. These are common phrases and otherwise known as search engine phrases that men are Googling late at night with flashlights because they're hitting the wall of finding out that everything they believed would get them what they wanted wasn't. And nice guys, or good guys as I call them, are surprised because they didn't know there was some other way to think or be that would produce the results they wanted while they were battling. And this gets into the topics of masculine archetypes like the lover and the magician and the king, who often take a backseat to the warrior for many years while he's doing his thing, only to find out that fighting wasn't the right energy.
Wow. I wish I knew about you, Steve, a decade ago, because back when I was an engineer, you're speaking to that old me that saw the world through the lens that I saw it with. I felt like I was a very open-minded person, and I felt like I was a very loving person. Like, truly, no, I'm the most open-minded person you'll find. And it, like you said, about the immaturity, and not from a negative place or a judgmental place, but just from a human development, emotional development, life experience place, we're not aware. And I wasn't aware. I didn't know what I didn't know. And now I'm very clear that I know I know this much. I know I don't know this much. And I know that I don't know what I don't know, which is like infinite. And it's really humbling. And so you're really hitting me in the heart with what you're sharing. And like I said, I wish I would have learned about these things back in my 20s. And I'm so glad that we're here right now to share this with such a huge audience so that we can begin to, you know, understand ourselves as men, have other men better understand men to be able to support them, and have women better understand men to be able to support them, where we get to rise together.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said. The question after you and I say those words, a man will say, a client or a prospective client who's coming in through this wound I call of death by female. I kid about it because it's usually a woman involved. He thinks that she's partially to blame for this realization or the wall that he hit, because she has held up this mirror to him that shows he's not being the man she needs him to be or wants him to be, so she can relax and open up and soften to his masculinity. And he resents her for holding up that mirror. So he starts to blame her. And then he asks, okay, thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Steve. Okay, you made that clear. You've told me what's been going on and what I've been doing wrong. So thanks for all that. I just don't know how to change. And it goes from what to how. We can talk all day about the stories of men that hit the wall and all the things leading up to it. That doesn't help most men just understanding what. So the part of men's coaching, as you know, is helping a man in the how, the transformation from what I call from the good guy to the great man. And my transitions follow those four learning steps you talk about, from unconscious incompetence all the way to unconscious competence. Good guy, awakened guy, enlightened guy, great man are my four stages of transformation, and they follow those four learning steps. Because once you find out what you really know you don't know, and then you start to know what you do know, and then you get to become natural and confident and just moving in flow with your masculinity, where you don't need anything to measure your goodness or your okayness, where you feel your strength from a natural core, life improves at that point. And the problem we have in teaching men who have been stepping on their you know what for a few years, once they get into this work, their woman becomes very suspicious, because she has a database of his behavior, his reactions, his immature and insecure ways of dealing with her in intimacy and sexuality, and she thinks she knows who he is. That's not really who he is. That's just the younger version of him. And as he grows into the higher stages of awareness of being a man, she doesn't trust it. And we have to help him through this phase of her just looking at him with her arms folded and her lips pursed, going, I don't think so. Right? I don't think I believe it. If you could have changed this easily, why didn't you do it 10 years ago? I don't trust you. And a man has to know that there is a natural phase of distrust in the transformation, where you have to let go of giving a crap about what she thinks in a very loving way. You give her the space and relaxation from needing to validate you and affirm your changes, because you have to like you enough to do it. Only then will she begin to trust that you're not full of crap.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm watching your reaction, right?
Everything is hitting so deeply. Yeah, give me a second here. I think another piece that you're hitting on here, you mentioned going from the what to the how. And in the latter part of what you shared, I think it speaks to what might be right underneath and before the what and the how is shifting the why. So for example, a lot of times the why, when, like you said, when the woman holds up the mirror, reflecting how he needs to change, it's actually a reflection of how he gets to change for himself, for his own experience of his life and his freedom and his joy and his expansion, not so she will love him, not so he can have her, but it's a reflection of not how you're bad and wrong, but of the opportunity of how you can learn to free yourself from yourself and learn what you don't know. And then when you can truly come from that place of, hey, I'm doing this for me because I'm realizing there's so much more I can experience from life that I don't know is available. That's when you can more easily slip into, when you do the what and the how, to be able to come from that unattached place where you can be patient with the time that she needs to get used to your new self, without having that expectation or rush or anxious attachment.
Perfect. Outcome dependence is a killer. When as engineers, you think if you have a process and you follow the steps and the recipe, then there is a prediction of an outcome. We call them prediction equations in engineering, because if you monitor the variables and you set them at the right place, you always know exactly what the output will be. We bring that mentality to a relationship and you're screwed, because she feels controlled and manipulated, and that you're only trying to tweak variables in order to get what you want, which is an immature way to be. You're talking about a spiritual level of why. I know why I have to do this, because I have to do it for me. I have to respect me. I have to like me. I have to love me. I have to feel grounded in who I am, just because that's who I want to be, not because I want to get something from somebody. And we talk about women being able to smell that neediness at the molecular level. They can tell the difference between a man who's doing it for himself and a man who's doing it to try to manipulate an outcome. And that dog knows accuracy, right, is women's gift, and they know it. And men can be resentful because they try it and she goes, no, and she goes, no, and he tries something else and she goes, no. And then he starts to label her as crazy or the B word because she's doing this thing. And all she's doing is using her gift to reflect back your authenticity. And when a man gets this and he goes, wow, what if I totally took away the reflection of needing that measurement back, that feedback system of her, and I had one of my own? What if I had a group of men who helped reflect back to me honestly and helped me be who I wanted to be for me without needing her affirmation? That's why men's coaching was invented. Most men over the last 50 years have grown up without good male role models, without good male friends who are emotionally intelligent and trustable, right? We all have our weekend friends, but this conversation you and I are having, two dudes, two guys, men should be having this conversation once a week at least with somebody they trust.
Yeah.
Because this is real.
Yeah. And just a nuance here, when you mentioned, you know, we didn't all grow up with good men or good friends. My interpretation of what you mean is, you know, they might have been nice, loving people, but they just weren't fully integrated, aware, full spectrum men that had a dynamic flexibility to bring their masculine or to bring their feminine, and to bring their presence and to bring their awareness and to really lead with an open heart.
Yeah. I call them initiated men. So all those words you used count, but it's somebody, and sometimes it's maybe someone a little older, someone a little wiser, who can call you out in a way that doesn't make you feel like you're being called a pussy. Yeah. And men feel that all the time when they get that glare or the eye roll from their wife. But to have a guy say, no, you're acting needy, but let me explain to you why needy's normal at this stage. Needy might sound like an insult, but she feels a desperate energy of dependency from you. And a woman can't feel sexual with a man who has a desperate energy of neediness.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're trying to build, we need to talk about how men become not needy. The opposite of not needy is self-reliant, which doesn't mean lone wolf, screw them, screw everybody. A self-reliant person is finally full enough to be fully present and authentic and to be able to give emotional safety because he needs nothing. And when you need nothing, you can give everything. Mm.
Yeah, I think something that I want men to acknowledge and I want women to understand is all men, whether they're aware of it or not, are way more sensitive than you know and think. And a common theme that I find with so many men that I work with is we're so sensitive without even knowing it that we would rather live a quiet life of desperation and subtle pain and emptiness and unhappiness than be wrong. Or to make a mistake. Like, that hurts so bad. Like, the way we're raised with education and business, it's the worst thing in the world to make a mistake. It's the worst thing in the world to be wrong. It means you're stupid. It means you're not trustable. It means you're unreliable or you're not safe. And so we'd rather just sit here in our own sadness and discomfort than to feel like we're being made wrong all the time.
Perfect. Yeah. The shame trigger for men, as Brené Brown says, while women have a shame trigger that is often rooted in not being good enough, not being seen as good enough, smart enough, skinny enough, good enough hair, whatever, good enough kids, good enough house. Yeah. Men's shame is a little different. It's not specifically good enough. It's more specifically strong enough, being seen as a strong man. And when you talked about that idea where they're being wrong, that's equivalent to a man of being seen as weak. Now, this isn't right. I know ladies watching this video right now will roll their eyes and go, idiots. And you're right, we are idiots. But that's part of our social programming. Part of our genetic programming is that being seen as wrong, being seen as weak, is the worst thing a man could have. And this is programmed by other men, right? This is not the fault of women. Other men have programmed us this way. What we haven't gotten men to realize, especially men struggling in relationship, is that open-heartedness, confidence, vulnerability, being emotionally intelligent and empathetic are the strongest places a man could come from. Because he no longer gives one single shit about what people think about him, right? And that's powerful. And again, it's not, I don't give a crap about you. I don't give a crap about my old way of being, my old way of measuring goodness and wellness. I don't give a crap about the old insecure ways that I used to measure strength, because now that I know not giving a crap, and this is a nod to Mark Manson's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, right? This is about maturity and security to the point to where you know who you are so clearly, calm, confident, centered, grounded, steeped in value, and knowing what your values are. From that point of well-being, you can be as generous as you want to be without fear of ever having something taken away from you. That's the foundation of a good relationship. It's where John Gottman talks about when a man can get to that point, he has a huge influence on the quality of his relationship, even more so than the feminine energy. Mm. He says that when a man is in his health, a woman's response to him, her ability to influence him in healthy ways and be with him in a safe space is a greater prediction of marital health than anything else. which is another reason I like to work with men, because they don't realize their power in creating what they want.
And earlier when you shared about men learning to think differently, and I think more importantly, be differently, because from my experience, you know, I was always in my head thinking, and I thought I was smart and can figure anything out. But there's just this other dimension of thinking that doesn't even involve the brain. It involves the heart and involves the body and involves the emotion. And that's what I was disconnected with. And that's what so many men are disconnected with. And I think one way to kind of give an example to put this more into tangibility is, for anybody, men and women, it doesn't matter what you say. What matters is the impact you are having. How many times do we say, I love you, but I love you, I love you? And they're like, but I don't know you love me. I don't feel you love me. You're like, but I'm telling you right now, I love you. Why don't you know it? It doesn't matter what you say. What matters is the impact that you have, especially with your kids too. And so that's when we find ourselves up against that wall, that barrier that we keep hitting, that's when we know there's another way to be, there's another way to experience, there's another way to feel, there's another way to communicate, that we don't need to learn to connect with our woman, but we get to learn because it opens up so much more experience of life for ourselves, our own joy, our own fulfillment, and a natural byproduct. You can now deeply connect with and understand your woman.
I love it. I love it. I love how tuned in you are into this and your enthusiasm. I want to bring a metaphor to the conversation, and I want to precede it by a decades old saying that Stephen Covey came up with. And the saying is that you can never talk your way out of a situation you behaved yourself into. Men hear that and they go, oh my God, say that again. Say it again.
Yeah.
You can never talk yourself out of a situation you behaved yourself into. The only way to get out of a situation that you behaved yourself into is to take that root word be and be different than you've been before. Give her the experience of being with a man who's different than the one she's been experiencing the last few years. Let her experience that. Let her experience your energy, your calm responses, your regulated emotional world, your mature sense of groundedness. Let her experience that and watch her unfold into a different person. We promise you. The metaphor I wanted to bring up is the one that we use all the time in my coaching material. And that's an animal metaphor. Most of our guys are intelligent, well-educated, verbose. They're busy bees, problem solvers, troubleshooters, doctors, lawyers, pilots, engineers, all kinds of technical workers. They live in the world of spreadsheets, pie charts, distribution curves, right? They live in the world of data, and they see things as ones and zeros. And if things aren't a one or a zero, they get anxious and uncertain, and they're trying to flip a one to a zero all the time so they can have a sense of certainty. And we call that the hummingbird. Always fluttering, like 1,000 beats per minute heartbeat. They're talking, they're reasoning, they're asking, they're interrogating, they're analyzing, and they're questioning everything. And they're trying to get enough data to flip from a one to a zero. And in a relationship with a woman, in a marriage, especially when you get anxious, when things aren't going wrong, you think the best thing you can do is talk faster and faster and ask more questions and get more data, and you can do this. And all of a sudden, she feels the sense of neediness and dread and smothering. And when she says, I need space, he'll email us, right, and go, what does that mean, Ryan, when a woman says, I need space? And I tell them about the hummingbird, and they go, I've been doing everything wrong. What should I have done instead? What's the option? Because that's who I am. That's what I've done. Oh my God. We introduce them to the mountain lion. I live in Colorado, right? I just followed tracks out back yesterday. I was looking for a dog that was missing, and I'm following mountain lion tracks. Picture him on a rock, a male mountain lion. He's about 220 pounds. He's sprawled out on a rock, and his tail is like 5 feet long. His eyes are droopy. The sun's on him. He yawns. There's young mountain lions, babies, running around, kind of nipping at his toes and kind of messing with him and rolling and wrestling. and his lady mountain lion is somewhere hunting or something. He doesn't care about anything. He's extremely alert about everything. He knows what's going on. He hears all the sounds, but he's a mountain lion. He doesn't overreact to the noise. He's not into drama. He doesn't let things get to him. A mountain lion is grounded. He knows who he is. He knows what his values are. He knows he could kill anything at any time if he has to, but he rarely needs to. In the meantime, he's conserving energy and he's absorbing. He's aware. He's very aware. And he doesn't get hooked into drama because he's a mountain lion. And this, again, this is a what discussion. A guy goes, oh, I want to be him because I'm so tired of the hummingbird. How do I make the transition from hummingbird to mountain lion? Because I want to be on that rock. I want her to see me, that because they're sexy too. Mountain lions are really hot. They're cool, right? I want to look like him. He probably has lots of sex, right? How do I do this? And this is the coaching journey, right? You can't just say to stop this and start that.
Yeah.
You have to know the transition between letting go of some of the immature thoughts and the insecurity and the overreactions and all the little, you know, slights you feel, and you think you have to hit tit for tat and retaliate for what you see as an injustice. You have to see all of that for what it is. And part of what the mountain lion knows is he knows about his lady. He knows about her at a deeper level than maybe she even knows herself. He has to be a student of the fact that sometimes when she reflects back that stuff to you, she's doing it as a favor to you. Sometimes she has emotional reactions to things you don't understand because you don't understand her journey as a little girl, as a young lion cub, and everything she went through. And this is talking to the empathy part. A mountain lion, a healthy mountain lion, knows that everybody has their journey and he doesn't take things personally. He sees it for what it is and he has empathy for it because he's not threatened. And when you have that, then you can nurture that. You can love that. And that's what you and I do for a living. We help guys do that.
And as you know, the ones and zeros, the binary, like living in that world, I have come to clearly see how relationships, all it is art. It is artfulness all over the place. There's no actual absolute yes. There's no actual absolute no or absolute good or absolute bad. Like for example, I'll give one example here. You talk about the hummingbird man, where the woman's like, "Hey, I need space." Okay. There's a possibility that she actually needs space and actually needs time separate from you and your energy. And there's a possibility that when she says she needs space, she needs you to get out of your fucking head, grab her, pull her close, look her in your eyes, feel your solidity, feel your love, feel your intensity for her, to let her relax and to surrender and to freaking trust you. And it takes artfulness and experience and practice and a self-awareness of your own emotion and their emotion to be able to be in that artful discernment of the moment, what's needed in the moment for myself, for her, for us as a partnership, to then be who you want to be and get to be in the relationship you want to have.
All I want to say is, and the lion roars. Right. Roars in that energy that you described. The space possibly she needs is just the quietness of your strength and the trust of a hug and the groundedness of your presence. Doesn't mean you have to go to the garage and give her space. There is space in being quiet and strong. That's why I use the mountain lion, because he knows that what she doesn't need most is you to disappear and leave her alone and abandon her. That's not what she wants. She wants to feel safe in your presence without you putting the pins and needles of neediness into her.
There's a quote from, I think it's the song Rise Up by Andra Day that really gets me sometimes. And it got me a lot years ago. And there's this moment, I invite people to listen to it. She says, "The silence isn't quiet." And as a man or as a woman, notice how true that is for you, where the silence is actually not quiet within yourself. That's that hummingbird, anxious thing that's there, always looking out, your radar going on. And the journey is to grow in a way and to learn new things and to have new practices where the silence is quiet. and you're able to be there, but not just when you're sitting on a cushion and meditating with your eyes closed, but when you're there everywhere, whenever you choose, as you're navigating through life, as you're working in business, when you're in a meeting, when you're doing work, when you're in relationship, how to have that solidity always there as a ground and a foundation.
Years ago, I wrote a blog titled, You Say It Best When You Say Nothing At All, which is the title of a song from the 70s. Keith Whitley and Alison Krauss did a version of that song. And it's exactly what you said. Sometimes you can talk more clearly when you're silent, when it's your behavior and your energy that's speaking more truth than your silly old words.
Your behavior and your energy that's speaking more truth than your silly old words. I just need to share a tangible, very profound experience that I had where I learned that throughout my entire system. And so my previous relationship, we were together for about 5 years, and it was a good relationship. There was love, there was respect, and it was not a great relationship. It was not exciting. It was not deeply soul fulfilling. And that's a hard place to be in, where no one messed up. It's a good relationship. You love each other. You truly want the best for each other. And there's something in your heart that just knows, like, oh, it pains me to even admit to myself that I feel that maybe this isn't right. And that's the place that I found myself in. And what I had to do, I had to look within. And over these years, I learned to trust my heart over anything else, which has been a big breakthrough. I sat down next to her, and she knew things weren't perfect. I sat down next to her and I made the conscious choice to let myself feel deeply and to feel fully all of those mixed, confusing emotions. And I let myself break down into tears. And it was ugly and it was heavy and there was snot and there was like heavy breathing and even like moans of agony, because I was literally feeling pain in all of that turmoil and confusion and love and knowing it's not right. And I don't know if that was 10 minutes long or 15 minutes long, but when I finally came through and blew out my nose with tissues and looked at her, she fully understood me. She fully, beyond mind, understood my love, understood my heart, understood my pain, understood my confusion, understood I wanted the best for her and me, and knew that it wasn't right for us to move forward. And I, 10 minutes of full authentic behavior, feeling, emotion, truth, the deepest truth of vulnerability she received, then 5 hours of trying to talk to her about it. And it was easy and it was peaceful and it was so grounding and it was so healing for both of us.
Wow, I don't know what to say. As I'm feeling your message, it reminds me of a chapter in Karen Brody's book. Karen Brody is a men's coach. She lives down in Mexico and she wrote Open Her, 8 Masculine Archetypes. And she talks about each one. There's a chapter called The Dark Night. The Dark Night, everything you just did there, in that 30 seconds, whatever you did there, that was great. It was dark night energy, even the slobbering and the snot. Right? Everything isn't always cool and calm like the mountain lion. Sometimes it's a huge emotional expression, including snot and tears. The dark night energy, very simply put, is one who is so clear about the open-heartedness and openness with which he wants to live his life and be in a relationship. He is unapologetic. He is honestly open. He instantly, with every interaction, lets people know who he is and what he wants from himself and with for his life. In that chapter, Karen Brody talked about how uncomfortable she was being with this unbelievable man who was like that. She knew exactly what he wanted, and she wasn't always sure she could give it. And so it's a wonderful book I recommend for men. Again, it's a lot of what, not a whole lot of how, right? Because once you understand intellectually these things that we're talking about, even though we're passionate about it, it doesn't always help a man know, okay, I got it. That makes so much sense. Oh my God, okay, what next? What do we do now? Because he's the engineer and is still wanting to, there must be a process here. And there are steps here, but so much of what we do professionally is help men in the context of their life, the context of their emotion, the context of the 6 a.m. argument about the kids getting ready for school and who's making lunches and all of the stress of life. When you work with a coach, I know this sounds like a sales pitch, but this is the one truth I know for myself personally and everybody we work with. Once you get in the context and the messiness of your everyday life, the conversations, failed sexual attempts, all of the crap, the guy who puts an orange on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then gets chewed out for 30 minutes for being a worthless piece of crap because he didn't pack the lunch right, because she had an argument with her mom earlier that made her feel like crap. When we get into these details, that's where transformation happens, because then you go, I get it. Man, I wish I could go back to 6 a.m. and run that scene over again. I want a scene one, take two. I know I can do better. Put me in, coach. I want to do it better. And the thing is, you always have another chance. There's going to be another argument brewing shortly, and you'll always have your scene one, take two. And that's what I love, that light that comes on that you, in my bio, when you read that, it's when a man gets it, when he sees who he was being before and his motivations and fears before had him destined to screw it up. It was destined to be a crappy day because that's the only way he knew how to respond to the pressure of being called a bad father for putting an orange on a peanut butter and chili sandwich. Right? And at that point he goes, okay. And this is where a little regret and guilt set in, because you start to play at 3x speed your last 10 years and you start to see you've been like this a lot. And you go, oh man, if I could just go back in time and redo that. I don't even care if I don't get divorced or whatever. I just want to have a different memory of that. I've done that a lot over my time. I was married for 28 years. And so I get to go back in time and go, oh. And once we laugh, and I laugh a lot in my videos and the content we do, because we know in the end, this is human stuff.
Yeah.
You and I are not inventing new things here. This is all ancient wisdom. We're saying it with different clothes on, with different haircuts and different energy. And hopefully somebody will hear one word of what we go and go, ah, that smells like truth. And that's the light. Once a man gets that, he's relentless. He will figure it out. And that's the value of coaching, is just to flip these lights on here and there to point to things that you may not see.
Yeah, when you're talking about the how, I think you touched upon like a tangible piece that men can articulate. This is the limited ways in which we know how to respond. And I see that so clearly for myself when you say look back 10 years as to how, like, it's a pattern. We're very limited in how we know how to respond to a situation. And in trauma or sympathetic nervous system, fight or flight, there's fight, there's fight, there's flight, there's fight, but there's also freeze. And a lot of times the freeze response isn't acknowledged or understood for men and for women. And a lot of times that's where we find ourselves. We either fight, we run away, or we freeze and we don't know what to do. And we're just like left in this mud of cloud of confusion of what the fuck. And there's so many more ways to respond outside of fight, flight, or freeze. And that's where art and color. And then eventually when you do that enough and you play comes in, you can actually transmute the tension and the anger into some form of play where you can support her to relax and lighten her heart, and you too. But right now our nervous systems are so on edge because we don't know how to manage stress. We don't know how to manage our bodies, our minds, that we just, the fuse bursts. And now we're all over each other. So a big part of what I do with men is learning who they are, learning these patterns, but also learning physical practice to strengthen your nervous system, because that's when it's needed the most. That's when your woman wants it the most. You're like this bomb, and she might be pulling on the wires and stuff. And a lot of men will just blow up. You want to be able to become the man where she's pulling on the wires with everything that she's got, all the words, all the energy. And you're there like, I got you, baby. Mm-hmm. Do everything you got. Nothing you're going to do is going to have this blow up on you. You're safe here. And then when they can run themselves out with all that energy and rest in that, and you didn't respond in the way that you typically responded, and you do that consistently over and over again, she will open up and surrender and love and give like never before.
I love it. There's this between flight and fight, there's this place in the middle, this space where Viktor Frankl calls it the pause. In between stimulus and response, there's a space where there's a pause. And when a man can find that, you know, again, it's not enough to say, dude, just pause, which is different than freeze. I have this one young cat who loves to swat at one of my dogs, and they figured out, he almost sees it coming, and here comes the swipe, and it goes right past it. He pulls back just enough so the cat misses, and then he leans back in with a grin, like, go ahead, do it again. It'll wind up and swipe and miss, and the dog will lean in, and it's just this play thing they do. He used to freak out. He used to get really upset. Now he knows that between the stimulus, right, getting hit, and the response, there's this pause in there. It's important for a man to know energetically, understanding his emotional world, having enough emotional confidence that everything that feels like a swipe, an attack, an infringement on his masculinity, she's trying to offend me, insult me, emasculate me. He feels victimized by her energy of discomfort. You can never respond well in that. You will always either fly out the door, which is screw you, right? Or you'll fight. Sometimes it gets physical.
Yeah.
Again, male anger is the result of a thought that we're not strong enough. Male anger is usually a reaction to the feeling that somebody is seeing me as weak and I need to prove them otherwise. And there's no more effective place to learn this as in with a relationship with a woman. Because if you are acting weak and insecure and immature, she will reflect back to you that. And if you don't understand the process of pausing and going, wow, I wonder what she's seeing here, and want to be different, a man has to move from thinking his woman is supposed to be easier instead of him being better. That's from David Data's book, right? Stop wishing for your women to get easier. Just wish that you were better. They become easier when you become better. That's the whole premise.
Yeah. Wow. What comes to mind when you share that in the pause is being able to any situation come with an expanded awareness and just a really strong nervous system so that when a man or a woman or your mom or your kid or a stranger or a neighbor swats at you, like your nervous system is so grounded and just solid, and you just have this big awareness of everything, that you're like, you immediately, your response is now compassion and empathy, where you're like, wow, you deeply know in your soul and your whole existence that hurt people over long periods of time and in the moment. And when someone's swiping, you're like, oh my gosh, this person is actually like feeling so much stress, feeling so much pain. I can't imagine what it's like to be in their life and their body with their perspective and their viewpoint. Wow, like who could I be right now that would really best support this individual for their highest experience? That is so different than someone swatting you and taking it personally and what's going on and fuck you and all the things. Like it changes the world we live in. It changes the world you live in. And that's what I support men to be able to create. I know that's what you support men to be able to create, but we just don't know what we don't know. And there's a biology to this. There's a physiology to this. There's a nervous system to this. And then there's a mental aspect to this. There's the emotional aspect to this. And these are just all things we were never taught, never, ever taught.
I know we're getting toward the end, but I want to share the one story. I help a man understand where he doesn't know something. I asked the question, what is the one superpower, the one gift, the one unbelievable power your wife has or your girlfriend has that your dad doesn't have, your mom doesn't have, your daughter and son don't have, your brother doesn't have, none of your coworkers, even your boss at work, they don't have this power. It's like you put it in her purse years ago and she's got this secret power over you. What is it? Because I don't know. What is it? I said, come on, think. What does she have? What can she do to you that nobody else can do? And he'll eventually go, she can hurt me in ways nobody else can hurt me. And I kid him around that you took this little lipstick shaped thing. It's a James Bond lipstick tube called Whoop Ass. When you open it, there's Whoop Ass and it's not lipstick. You put it in her purse and you gave her the power to hurt you emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. You've given her the power through your own insecurity. You've given her power to do it. It's if you had a three-year-old daughter who said, "Daddy, you're stupid. You're the worst daddy ever. I hate you. I hope you die." Most guys would go, "Well, you know, dinner's at 6. Don't be late." And he'd give her a hug, right? He wouldn't take it personally. A three-year-old saying, "You're stupid. I hate you. I hope you die. You're the worst daddy ever." It's just a kid talking. Well, inside every man and woman, there's a three-year-old or a 6 or 9-year-old. And sometimes in a relationship, I point to a man's belief that his wife can hurt him when she enters into her own insecure mode to where throwing darts and daggers and insults and "I hate you, poopy head" stuff. When she does it at the adult woman level, it feels worse because it's an eye roll or a sneer or a talk to the hand motion where you feel so dejected, rejected, minimized, disrespected, right? That the trigger, there's no pause, and the trigger goes right to, "Oh my God, she's abandoning me. She hates me. And she thinks I'm a big pussy." So the trick isn't one thing. I say, go take the lipstick back, pretend even in the drawer where she keeps all the old ones, just take one and say, "That's the one, put that in your pocket." It's not just that, but it's also, there's a spiritual belief system that you are worthy. And that when you empathetically can see when she is throwing daggers and knives and doing those things that hurt so bad, she's doing them for her, not to you. And that's the distinction I want to leave guys with. But when you feel that from anyone, and this gets back to hurt people, when somebody is in pain, they will do things for themselves. It's not personal. It's not to you. And this is when a mountain lion gets that, he can see all kinds of daggers coming at him, and he just kind of watches them in slow motion, like the Matrix. Bullets bend around him. Because none of it's personal. The awareness slows down and the breathing slows down and the calmness enters his body. And then his response after that is incredible. Sometimes it's a joke. Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it's simple. "You're probably right, babe. You're probably right." "I could have handled that better. Want a cup of coffee?"
The thing that I would like to leave the viewers with today is, and the men, your power is in achieving is in vulnerability and confidence. And it takes an extreme amount of confidence to be vulnerable. Like, we don't need to rise to be this perfect man that we're outlining here. All you need to do is learn to be a powerfully vulnerable man. We get to be human. We get to exist with our insecurities. And when the woman with that lipstick of whoop ass is saying something that hits our insecurity, the next thing to do is to be vulnerable and to say, "Wow, I am noticing that what you're saying is deeply hitting that insecurity that I have, and that hurts so bad. And I know you had a bad day, and that I'm not gonna," like, even though it hits the insecurity, you have the awareness to still not take it personally because you know what's going on the other side. And so that vulnerability piece of noticing what's happening and being able to share it is being that integrated man, not being impenetrable to where you're never hurt. That's not what we're talking about. It's a different paradigm.
Beautifully said. Wow. Beautifully said. In one of the books we recommend is Hold On To Your Nuts by Wayne Levine, a men's coach. One of his 8 tools in there is to express your feelings, but don't defend them. And he goes deep into, and it's exactly what you just said, be vulnerable, be honest, and express it, but you don't have to defend it from your 6-year-old self. You just do it. You model it like you just modeled it. Beautiful.
Wow. Well, Steve, this has been such a great pleasure. I know the viewers are receiving so much, and I hope it's having a big impact in their lives. And I believe you have something that you'd like to gift them as well.
Yeah. There's something I'd like to give. There's one thing I'd like to give them is a story that I wrote, which is almost every man's marriage nightmare. In fact, the name of the PDF is Every Man's Marriage Nightmare. And it's a story about Pete and Barb and Mike, his stepdad. And I want to give that away. It's a conglomeration of an email responder series that has been very popular. I want to give one more thing away because we're just launching it this week. And we have a Good Guys to Great Men Masculine Mastery Scorecard. It's an automated system where you can answer. In fact, I'll show you what it looks like. I invented this years ago, back in 2013. It's 12 different categories of analysis. A man can use this to come up with a score of how you're doing the 12 different categories, like health and fitness and sexuality and how you think about women, emotions, temperament. And you get to go ahead and score yourself. And there's also 48 different free videos that pop up depending on how you score yourself to support yourself. It's a free thing. And I want to give that URL too. So guys can start playing with that and get back with us if they want more information, more resources.
Beautiful. Well, that link will be below for everyone on this video that you clicked on. Steve, such a pleasure, such an honor. Thank you so much for your time and all of your heart that you're sharing.
Thank you, Ryan. This is a lot of fun. I appreciate you.
All righty. Be well.